Welcome to the Modernize or Die podcast, CFML News Edition, where we keep you up to date with everything going on in the Cold Fusion community. We'll share the latest news on events, releases to engines, frameworks, libraries, and tools, as well as spotlighting quality content from the community.
Hello, and welcome to the Modernize or Die podcast, CFML News Edition. It is April 2nd. 2024. This is episode 213, and I am Eric Peterson, and with me today is Mr. Grant Copley. How are you doing, Grant?
Doing great. Good to be on the podcast. I think it's been a little bit, right?
It's been a little bit for both you and me, and it's been a little bit for the podcast, almost a month. So we got a lot of news to get through, and we're going to jump right onto it. But first, let us tell you about our sponsor, Orta Solutions, the makers of all your favorite box products, including ColdBox, CommandBox, TestBox, ForgeBox. You can say thanks and give back in a few ways. First up is the CF Summit East workshop coming up on April 24th. We'll tell you more about that in our workshop section. You can buy tickets to Into the Box in Washington, D.C. here in May 15th through the 17th. Like and subscribe to our videos on YouTube. Star our repos on GitHub, subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast app, sign up for a free or paid account on CF Casts, buy some awesome stuff from our Box Life store, or one of our books like 102 ColdBox Quick Tips and Tricks, which is also in hardcover on Amazon now.
All right. And you can also learn modern cold fusion in 100 plus minutes. There's a free online book there that you can go check that out. And we also have that book available. Let's see. All right. And also another way that you can say thanks is by becoming a Patreon supporter. We have awesome Patreons. We've currently got 46 now. And that is a big help to what we do here at Ortis. So thank you to our Patreon supporters.
We will tell you more at the end of the episode how you too can become a Patreon supporter and what perks that gives you. But let's dive into some news and announcements. So it seems to be the year of security vulnerabilities for Adobe. At least it feels like there's been more this year than past. Maybe that's just anecdata, you know. But there is a new one, CVE-2024-20767, which was a flaw exposing sensitive files. It looks like you're only vulnerable if you had the performance monitoring toolset enabled and accessible via the web. So if you didn't, I don't believe you were exposed. But update to the latest, Adobe released a patch on March 12th. For both 2021 and 2023. So, make sure you're up to date. And if you had that performance monitoring tool set enabled, you might want to check some things.
All right, and we have some new releases and updates from Adobe. So some of the key enhancements are scope variable changes. So this is enhanced functionality for performance. CF document got some updates, which I welcome. The upgrades for smoother document handling. So if you're using CF document, you want to check that out. We've got some major library upgrades. So keeping your application backbone strong and secure. And there's also some CK editor changes. So if you're using CK editor, you'll want to check that out as well.
Yeah, I believe that's the bundled CK editor they use in their custom tags. So these are also the updates that have the security vulnerability patched. Again, for Cold Fusion 2021, it's update 13 and update 7 for 2023. Both are available on ForgeBox as well. Okay, we had some Ortis releases the last month, and I'll go through those because I...
Are they all yours?
These ones all are all mine. We probably had some more Ortis updates that I wasn't aware of, and you know, if we don't write a blog post, I probably missed it. So, but yeah, these ones are all mine. So let's go through them. great news for fans of Quick. We have a new relationship type, as well as revamping the very powerful, but often, how do I put this? I don't know. Laden with its own landmines, the has many through relationship. So we have some updates to those, and that new relationship is called has many deep. It is basically a rewrite of the has many through. So the idea here is your normal, like, this belongs to this, or this has many, you know, a user has many blog posts, things like that. But you wanted to go multiple levels, like a user has many roles and has many permissions, and I want to jump over roles. How do I do that in one query? Has many deep gives you a much easier way to write that now, and it's a much more readable as well as performant query that it made. And has many through now uses that under the hood, so you don't actually have to change any of your code to get that update. But yeah, that's covers version 7.4 all the way through the current, like, 8 branch. There was one slight breaking change if you were doing anything with custom relationships yourself by disabling the relationships constraints. Most people aren't, so you can upgrade to 8 with no problems. But, you know, I try to be very technical on the breaking changes because you never know who's using what, and it really sucks to have your day taken by a library updating that you didn't expect to have a breaking change. So yeah, that's Quick. Quick 8.0.2 is the latest now. That also requires the new QB 9.8, which has a new with alias functionality. So you can give QB an alias, and any columns that you have that were fully qualified with the old name will get automatically updated to the alias. So if you had, you know, select u.firstname from users, and then you said with alias u2, that u.firstname would be updated to u2, u2.firstname, if that makes sense. So again, mostly helping Quick, where I'm trying to do some automatic alias namings and it gets kind of hairy. So and finally, Megaphone, our notification library, had some updates to the email provider that now uses your default CB mail services provider if you don't choose one for Megaphone. And it will log out the success and failures by default on the lifecycle hooks there. So three nice little updates there. The Quick one is very huge if you've been dealing with either performance issues with the has many through, or even it dropping, like, constraints that you've been putting on those. Many, I would want to say all, but then somebody will point out where it's not all, but so many of those issues have been fixed. So give it a run on Quick 8. All right. How about we jump to RCF Cast content update for the last few weeks?
Yeah, so we have some recent releases by our very own Daniel Garcia. He put out Getting Started with Cloud Migrations, and this is a part of a new ongoing series that we're doing called Ortis Bytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. And Daniel is covering cloud migrations and how to get started with that, so be sure to check that one out. And then we also have one by also our own Jaime Ramirez, and it's Windows Terminal Enhancements using Oh My Posh. So we'll post the link to that as well. And those are over on CFcast. If you haven't checked that out, we've got tons of videos and tutorials and things like that.
You know, the Windows Terminal Enhancements is just one in the latest of string of releases for Microsoft where I'm just like, they are quickly becoming like the developer platform, right? Not only like Windows is getting, to me, better at having all these command line tools, the Linux subsystem, but then also all of their developer tools and acquisitions like GitHub and Copilot, and it's just,
yeah,
They're taking over.
Yeah, sure.
I might be running this on the Mac right now, but I think I have, you know, just as many Windows apps running or services. So
I feel so alone over here with my Mac.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about some conferences coming up. So first we mentioned CF Summit East. That is this month, April 24th. This is a free conference in Virginia, or close to Washington, D.C., I believe, Reston, Virginia. It is, again, April 24th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Carisoft Conference and Collaboration Center there. We'll include the link that for you to sign up. Again, this is free. If you would like to go to the Adobe Certified Professional Training beforehand, that one will have the link as well. You'll need to sign up for that, and you can become an Adobe Certified Professional. Or you can go to another training after, or I guess not or, you can do it and as well, but the training by Orta Solutions.
Yeah, our very own Luis Mahano. He's going to be covering Coldbox 7 right after the Summit East conference. So it will be a deep dive into Coldbox 7.2. And I think the tickets are limited, and I think we have early bird pricing, right? On those?
I'm not sure if it's early bird or just normal pricing, since we are, you know, a few days away from it.
But
there are tickets available. So
maybe not then. We're already
early bird has ended.
I'm still in March.
Yeah, early bird prices have ended, but you can still grab one of the few remaining tickets. So we will make sure that link is in the show notes for you to come and learn from Luis. If you've gone to one of these workshops before, they're wonderful, but also it's so much has changed. So many new powerful features in Coldbox. Even if you went to one a few years back, I mean, we're two major versions past, you know, Coldbox 5 when I remember giving one of these with Luis. There's so much to learn, even if you just came to learn like the new async stuff. Like, definitely worth your time.
That's immediately what I thought of, was the async stuff. Yeah. There's so much there.
All right. Jumping forward about a month, we have Into the Box 2024, fast approaching May 15th through 17th in Washington, D.C. We have tickets available, sessions and workshops. I believe almost all the sessions have been announced now. We had another wave of sessions announced a few weeks ago. We have hotel options that we've posted as well, and we are so excited to see you all there. It's going to be just quite the event. You do not want to miss it.
Definitely not. And also, save the date. CF Camp 2024 is coming up. That is in Munich, Germany, and it is June 13th and the 14th. So some tweets about it, a Facebook link, and you can also check it out at cfcamp.org.
And I believe, yes, they have early bird tickets available now. So we'll include that link. Until April 13th is early bird ticket pricing for CF Camp 2024. And sometime soon we should be seeing their sessions being posted. Their call for speakers ended middle of March. So having done this before, I know it takes a while to go through the speakers, but it will be coming soon.
See, Eric, I knew there was early bird pricing. I just got it on the wrong conference.
Yeah. That's awesome. And as always, if you need more conferences, if this is not enough, comps.tech has you covered. You can search by different languages, different times, different locations. Let's jump into our blogs, tweets, and videos of the week. So not only do we have quite a few, it being about 3 weeks since, but did you happen to count? 1, 2, 3, 4. This is great content. 5, 6, 7, 8. Ben Nadal blog posts.
Yeah.
So we'll go to the Ben corner at the end of this. One of these days we'll have a little image here on our video podcast. It's just the Ben Nadal corner. We're very grateful for it, and they're great content. So let's jump in though to some other ones first. There's a blog here by Juan Pablo Gomez Postigo called I Love Lucy, Building Lucy Extensions for Remote Code Execution. This is an interesting one. We have a couple of links for it, one to the actual blog post and one that seemed to be following up on it. So this is showing how you can make a Lucy extension that would then let you remotely execute code without, you know, the person knowing, like a vulnerability. And it was interesting to walk through, and kind of the takeaway is make sure your admin is locked down and that you know what extensions you're installing. So in this case, they were making an extension that would listen to the headers coming through and then execute the code that was coming through in the headers. So you can see the examples here. Again, this is showing you, like, check out what extensions you're installing. Make sure your admin is locked down so somebody can't install the ones that they want on their own. And yeah, so go ahead and check that one out.
Very cool. I also have a tweet from James Moberg. He's tweeting about LogView Plus. He says, after reviewing a couple free ones, I found LogView Plus and immediately worked with multiple CFML log files, and he was able to enable filtering and searching. Apparently, it's $45, and so check that out if you're interested.
I thought that was interesting, mostly because I don't know the last time I've used a log viewer. I think, like, the Mac has one, right? Like, for the console is theirs. But, like, just seeing his screenshot, I'm like, that would be useful instead of pouring through it in VS Code. Also, now I'm wondering if there's a VS Code extension for it. So we'll have to put that
there's,
down.
There's an extension for everything.
I know, but now I need to find one.
And also a blog post by Nolan Ert. He will be speaking at CF Summit East 2024. So Adobe has invited him back, and he's got a blog post about that. So,
yeah, I believe he's given his MVC with and without a framework talk there. So, All right. Well, ready for the Bend the Doll corner?
Let's go. Let's do it.
All right. First one is the Fisher-Yates shuffle algorithm. I would put this under the, like, the code kata category, where Ben was asked to shuffle an array in ColdFusion without using Java's collections.shuffle method, which is the way you probably should do this, everybody. But it's fun to understand what the code is doing. So he goes through and talks about how to implement that Fisher-Yates shuffle algorithm, and at least what is that Fisher-Yates shuffle algorithm. So check out that code for how to shuffle yourself without dropping down the Java. And then after you've done that, drop down the Java because they've already done it for you.
All right, and the next... this is another Ben Adel one, isn't it, Eric?
The rest of these are all Ben Adel ones.
Oh, yeah. All of them. All right.
Yeah, we're in his corner now.
ColdFusion 2021, MySQL query no longer returning dates as dates. And so Ben ran into this. I think he was getting a bad request too long error, started digging into it, and found that... IIS was rejecting requests because his request headers had exceeded 16 kilobytes in size. And after digging into it more, it ended up being because of some issues with date time returning as strings instead of as, like, date time values. And anyway, so he goes into to outline kind of what he ran into with that. I think he talked about a workaround where he was converting the string date back to, like, a real date type. And it was fixing some issues that he was seeing with cookie. So anyways, pretty interesting. I kind of want to go back and dig more into it again. He documents that. So check that out if you're interested.
Yeah. Following up on that one there, he has another blog post about getting the UTC milliseconds from a date. And again, this is about the fact that Adobe made it so these Query stopped returning date objects inside, but strings, and he had to have a way to get to that UTC millisecond. So he has his own new function, date get time, that he's using to get that. So yeah, I ran into that myself on the Adobe engines. It's very unfortunate. I realized they were trying to fix other issues, but I mean, it wasn't even in a... well, it was probably documented. I didn't read it if it was documented. So, but yep, there you go. So watch out for that if you are on one of the Adobe engines and MySQL.
And also now to the next one, using Alpine.js to Ajaxify HTML fragments from ColdFusion. So Ben was kind of looking into Ajaxifying a form using Alpine.js, and he drew inspiration from another developer who's using was using something similar to do the same. So it utilizes an Alpine.js directive called x-ajax-fragment, and that it manages Ajax content swapping. And basically, Alpine.js, you can put in directives where it intercepts, you know, link clicks in a specified area on the page, and it will swap in the content without page reloading and everything. So he takes a look at doing that and implementing basically his own Ajax form using Alpine. So check that out.
So yeah, now you have some experience with this in the Livewire world, right? In the CBWire world?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it feels like he's kind of, again, experiment-wise, creating his own Livewire.js stuff. Because all of this is handled by the JavaScript library and the CF code that you have in like CBWire, is that right?
Yeah, I definitely see some similarities there for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. I love these digging under the hoods. So check that out. And if you like what you see, come check out CBWire.
Please do. And on to the next one. So adding a one-click unsubscribe SMTP headers to his comment emails. And so apparently, from what I understand, I guess Google is now mandating like an easy unsubscribe for bulk emails.
Right.
And so Ben was looking to add a one-click unsubscribe to his ColdFusion blog, just kind of as an experiment. And apparently you can do it either using an HTTP post or requiring two SMTP headers that will also do it. And so he kind of documents and outlines his experience with that. And it was rather involved too. There's some security things involved where you have to do a HMAC signed URL to prevent tampering. And anyways, it was pretty thorough. So very interesting blog post on that.
Yeah. And as always, if you're using an email provider, you know, something like a Mailgun or a SendGrid, they're doing this for you. So, I guess maybe not those ones with transactional emails, but more like a MailChimp or any of those newsletter types, they're going to be handling this for you. So, but yeah, loved it. Another code kata here. We have parsing time spans in ColdFusion. So if you've ever used the create time span function, you can convert that back into its parts. And that's because under the hood, a time span is a number. In fact, ColdFusion, Adobe ColdFusion, represents it exactly as a double. And you can parse that out just by, you know, dividing it by the rights amounts, getting the remainders, all that. And he goes through that here. But it is important to note that while Adobe stores it as a double, Lucy does not. So if you're trying to do any weird is numeric checks, one will pass and one won't. So all right, we have another one about using CF module to render templates with isolation and ColdFusion. This was interesting to me because this is how ColdBox does views, in case you did not know that.
Yeah, actually, I didn't even know you could do this until I was digging into Coldbox one day and realized that that's how we're doing this. But essentially, if you're using CF include, you'll know that when you're rendering a template, it all of the variables that are from outside of where you're doing your CF include, they just get stuffed in there and can overwrite the variables that are inside your CF include. So if you want to like prevent variable collisions and things like that, you can instead use CF module, and it has basically its own variable scope and page context, and it's a great way to keep your variables isolated and not interfering with one another. So Ben ran into that, and he's got a good blog post on that.
Okay, and rounding out our Ben Dahl corner is one that's, near and dear to my heart. On ending path variables with a slash or not in Cold Fusion. And like, oh my goodness, I'm all here for this. So the idea is, when you're referencing a folder, should you have a slash at the end or not? And a lot of the times it doesn't matter when you're appending paths together, because two slashes in the middle are just kind of ignored. It does matter if that's at the beginning, if one of the things is an empty string. And there's also the semantic question of which one is semantically correct. For me, I 100% agree with one of the things he says at the end, which is, if this was a Node application, you would use path.join, and then it handles all the slashes for you. And I have written that function in a Coldbox app so many times that I don't know why I haven't made the module yet. But just this idea that you need to combine paths, you need the slashes to just work out. I mean, it would be lovely if there was a built-in function for that instead of having to constantly check, the left and right first character and make that. So as far as which is like semantically or aesthetically correct, I don't know if I have a preference. Do you have a preference, Grant?
No, I'm waiting for you to tell me which one.
I figure if it works, then I don't care. So, I do agree that I want path.join equivalent in Cold Fusion, or I should finally release a library for it or something like that. So,
our next ForgeBox module of the week, maybe.
There we go.
Maybe.
Maybe. In the chat, James Moberg is saying some CLI tools that he uses do not like ending slashes for directories, so it's a mix. Which is interesting, because I've ran into web tools that give you a different response. I don't like this at all, by the way. A different response whether you end it in a slash or end it without a slash. Like they treat one as, like a directory and one is not. And I feel like that's on the same vein as case sensitivity in URLs. Like that's just asking for people to be frustrated. Yeah. So, and a good point, get directory from path does not return a trailing slash in Cold Fusion. So maybe that's our answer.
Yeah, there it is. We'll just to go with that one.
All right. Thank you for coming through all the awesome blogs, tweets, and videos of the week. And especially thank you to those who wrote and contributed to the CF community that we got to highlight. If we missed your contribution, please reach out to us. We would love to include you next week, or next time we have the podcast. All right, let's talk about finding a job. Since we talked last, there are now 122 Cold Fusion positions from 75 companies across 51 locations in 5 countries on getcfmljobs.com. 3 since our last one. We have a senior Cold Fusion developer remote in Melbourne, Florida, a senior web developer Cold Fusion at Northridge, California, and my favorite, because I think there was a misclick here, is a full stack web developer at New Mexico, United Kingdom. I'm pretty sure that's United States, but it has United Kingdom in the name and it makes me laugh. If you are looking for other jobs, there is a jobs channel in both the CFML Slack team and on the Box Team Slack team. And with that, let's jump into our ForgeBox module of the week.
This week, it is CB Storages. So if you've used ColdBox for some time, you're almost certain you probably ran into this. But if not, it is a module that provides you kind of a collection of smart storage services that you can put in your application. So, and this was kind of new for me when I first started getting into ColdBox and kind of learning about all the abstractions. And then this wasn't available initially, I think, when I started. But, you know, in my code before ColdBox, I was calling, you know, all of the CFML scopes that you can think of all over the place. So you've got, you know, application scope, server scope, CGI scope, form, URL, and just had those, you know, throughout my code base. Well, this module allows you to kind of abstract that out and gives you like a consistent API for dealing with all of these scopes. So if you need to pull from the CGI scope, you can, there's a very simple way that you can do that and work with variables there to get variables there. Also, if you're dealing with session scopes or cookie scopes, it's a really great way that you can kind of clean up some of your code and make it more consistent of how you're pulling those in. And also, there is, as part of that, there's a cache storage that you can use to leverage distributed caches like Couchbase and Redis. So yeah, it's our module of the week. If you haven't used it, it's very powerful. It also kind of helped me too, Eric. I don't know if you've ran into this, but it can, using abstractions like that, it really can kind of make your code more testable too. I've ran into that a few times.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't mock the application like storage as far as you know, if you just do application dot, you can put values in there and you can try to reset it at the end, but you can't mock that and make it isolated in your test. But with the storages, you definitely can. I think these also existed. CB storages existed before the engine started implementing a lot of their storage providers. So now you can, in Lucy and Adobe, set up like a Redis cache as your session storage. But before then, you couldn't. But here you could have a session storage that pointed to Redis and have all your code go through that. So these still exist for that reason, and they're still powerful for that reason. I know CBAuth uses these storages. And for an API, you can set the session storage to just be on the request level, right? Using the request scope even. And that way you can avoid having a session at all. But yet the code doesn't need to worry about that. And when you have traditional stateful logins, you can make that your session scope. You can make that a cache that you pass in, anything like that. So definitely powerful. And like you said, makes your code a lot more testable. So, all right. And the VS Code hint, tip, and trick of the week is Wranglo themes. So this was made by creator Dale Rees. This is one extension, and there are over 320 syntax and UI themes in here.
So it's a bunch.
This is bang for your buck. And most of his themes have a dark version, a high contrast version, and a light version. So you get lots of choices here. Not only is it on VS Code, it's also available on other editors, Sublime Text, IntelliJ IDEA, probably a lot of others. And I think you can get them on Vim if you're, you know, command line junkie. So go ahead and find Wranglo, and then when you go to color theme, you'll see all of these. And Grant and I were wanting to talk about our favorites. So
I don't know. Yeah, mine fit my favorite. So there's a long list and they've all got different names. Mine, for some reason, is named Crackpot. That's my favorite one, though. I've been using it probably for over a year now. It's kind of like a purple and sort of a lighter orange sort of thing. It's very unique, but I've always just really liked it.
So I'm showing it right here on the screen using some code if you want to see it. So this is the crackpot theme. And if I go to switch color themes, you'll see there's also a contrast. It's a much deeper black instead of the purple. Or you can get a crackpot light, which is, again, a light theme using those same kind of purples. So yeah, crackpot. That's a good theme.
Yeah.
I like that one. Oops, can't type now. There's crackpot. My favorite Ranglo theme that I keep coming back to is Jewel. Jewel is the one that I prefer. So you can see here on the screen. I don't know how to describe it except that I like it. And again, it has its own high contrast light theme as well. And again, there are so many. You can see all of these Ranglos on mine. I can just keep going through. Most of the themes I have installed are Ranglo. So
our very own Michael Bourne showed me, because him and I have both been using the Ranglo themes for a long time, and there's just so many of them. He showed me that there's actually a VS Code extension that will switch them out on a schedule. So if you wanted to like set it up to where every day you get something, you know, I guess it depends if you're, you know, if you like that sort of stuff or not, but if you can schedule it to change out from the different Ranglo themes, because there's just so many of them.
That's fun. Then you can try out a bunch and see which one you like. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end today. And we want to tell you about our Patreon supporters. These are individuals that are personally supporting our open source initiatives, making sure that great toolings like CommandBox, ForgeBox, ColdBox, ContentBox, TestBox, and all your other favorite box products are getting the continuous development they need. It funds the infrastructure that our community relies on with ForgeBox for package management. You can support us on patreon.com/ordersolutions. If you subscribe at the bronze package or up, you can get a ForgeBox Pro and CFCast subscription as a perk. And all our Patreon supporters have a profile badge on our community website, access to a private forum in that community website, and access to a private channel on the Box Team Slack. You can find more, again, at patreon.com/ordersolutions. And now, would you, Grant, like to take us through our top Patreons here that we like to read
out
on the show?
Would love to. So our top Patreons, we've got John Wilson with Synaptrix. We've got Tomorrow's Guides, Gordon Clark, Gary Knight, Giancarlo Gomez, David Bellinger, Dan Card, James Moberg, and Jeffrey McGee with Sunstar Media, Dean Maunder, Kevin Wright, Doug Kane, Nolan Irk, and Abdul Rahim. And so many more Patreons. Again, you guys help us out in a tremendous way. So thank you for being Patreons.
Thank you all for joining and listening wherever you are. And we hope you have a great rest of your day. We'll catch you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Show notes for this episode can be found at cfmlnews.modernizeordie.io. Where you can also subscribe to your favorite podcast player like Spotify or iTunes. We also have the link to YouTube to find more videos just like this. The music used in this podcast is under a royalty-free license from sound.com and Bluetree Audio.